Acts is all about mission and the missionary activities of the first century church. This was a church that would spread the gospel, a message of good news and hope, a church that would grow by thousands and thousands each day. There would be phenomenal growth, a church that just could not be held back by opposition or persecution, a church that literally turned the world upside down. And this mission story, it began with the Great Commission that Jesus gave in Matthew chapter 28 to his followers, to those who would follow him and be his disciples. And he said these words, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." And so this mission statement very much set out the direction and the purpose for the Church of Jesus Christ. This is what they were to do. It's a bold, a dynamic and challenging mission. This command to the followers of Jesus Christ. They were to go and make disciples of all nations. This requires proactivity. They had to do something. And they were to baptize these new believers in the name of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. A co-mission, a joint mission of God and his church. In the book of Acts, arguably the key verse is this one in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, where we read this right at the beginning of Acts, the book of Acts. "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." The impact of the life, of the death, of the resurrection of Jesus Christ was going to cause ripples. It would be first of all felt in Jerusalem, and it would then spread out to the surrounding area of Judea and Samaria. It would then move out to mainland Europe, and then right across to the ends of the earth. The impact had far-reaching consequences right across our world, initially being felt in that first century Jewish and Roman world, but then being felt right across the course of human history, right through to modern time, to us, as we meet together this morning. The life, the death, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, those 30-plus years of Jesus Christ, being very much the central point of human history. And the key player in the book of Acts is the Apostle Paul. Now, the Apostle Paul was arguably the most effective missionary the world has ever known. You might argue in terms of numbers, maybe it's a modern-day Billy Graham. But for his time, the Apostle Paul was an extraordinary missionary, a man who relentlessly shared the good news of Jesus Christ, of the death, of the resurrection, and what that means for each one of us, a man who was prepared to give his life for God's great commission. But before Paul became the Apostle Paul, he was called Saul of Tarsus. And Saul of Tarsus was a completely different type of person. Saul was zealously against Christianity. He was a man who actively tormented and persecuted the Christians. And it's Saul of Tarsus that we read about in the passage that we read about just now. It was Paul of Tarsus who, as I say, in the passage is referred to it as Saul, who was there at the stoning of Stephen. It was Saul who was the one who was holding the coats of those who were stoning Stephen. We read about that in Acts chapter 7. The man who approved of the stoning, of the murder of this man Stephen. And in Acts chapter 8, verse 3, we read this, that Saul began to destroy the church, going from house to house. He dragged off both men and women and put them in prison. Saul was a persecutor, a tormentor of the church, leading that first century opposition to the church at that time. And Saul's heart was dark. It was full of evil intent. It was full of wickedness. Saul was not a nice man to know. But God had very different plans for Saul. God is sovereign and a God of unimaginable grace and love and mercy. And God was going to do something completely different to what Saul had intended for his life. In Acts chapter 9, we read that Saul was travelling along the road to Damascus. He was taking some prisoners. He was out to cause more havoc in the church at Damascus. When suddenly Saul saw this blinding light from heaven that literally just stopped him in his tracks. And he heard a voice that came from heaven. A voice that said in Acts chapter 9, verse 4, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" And Saul asked who this voice was, who was speaking to him. I think he probably knew, but he asked anyway. And then in verse 5 we read, the voice said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." God literally overwhelmed Saul. He knocked him off his horse by this bright light, knocked him to the ground. He was blinded, he was humbled, maybe even humiliated by God. And God took hold of this violent, this aggressive, rage-filled, anti-Christian man. The Saul deserved to be destroyed by God for opposing God. He deserved judgment. He deserved hell and damnation. He deserved to be punished for all of those wicked things that he had been doing in his life and against the church. But that's not what God wanted to do with Saul. God had other plans. He was going to transform Saul. He was going to make him into a new man. Saul would become somebody who would become hopelessly in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. God didn't want to destroy Saul, although he deserved it. God reached out in his love and his grace and his mercy to Saul, and God saved Saul. Saul would change from being God's enemy to being God's friend. Saul would be changed from being the adversary and opponent of Jesus Christ to becoming a follower of Jesus Christ, to becoming a Christian. Saul's life would be completely transformed, completely turned around, so that he became a new man. Well, we were singing a little bit earlier on this morning in the service that hymn, "Amazing Grace," written by John Newton. "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see." A man who was once a captain of a slave ship, who was very much part of the slave trade. One of the instruments of the slave trader. A man who cruelly committed tens and thousands of men, women and children to slavery, to mistreatment, to beatings. But a man who would be dramatically changed by God. A man who would be used by God ultimately. Whose life was saved as he became a follower of Jesus Christ. And we read of something very similar that happened with Saul of Tarsus. Acts chapter 9 verse 18 in our study passage, we read that immediately something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he could see again. And this wasn't just Saul's physical sight that was restored. He was completely and fully a new man. His spiritual sight was also restored to him. And he had insight now, and his eyes were opened by God to the truth about Jesus Christ and who he is. And this is such an important lesson for us this morning. Nobody is beyond God's grace. Nobody is beyond God's love, beyond God's mercy, beyond God's forgiveness. There's hope for each one of us. God can also dramatically transform and can change our lives as well. If God could save Saul, the man who was the persecutor of the first century church, if God could save John Newton, a slave trader, then surely God can also save you and me.
There's nothing that's in your life that God can't turn around. Because he wants to transform you. He wants to transform me and to make us into people who follow him and serve him. Saul very dramatically met the Lord Jesus Christ along that road to Damascus. And it's that same risen Lord Jesus Christ that Saul met who is with us here this morning. And that same risen Lord Jesus who wants to meet with each one of us. So what happened to Saul following that encounter that he had with the Lord Jesus Christ as he became a Christian? Well, briefly, we're going to look at just three things that happened to Saul as he became a follower of Jesus Christ. Well, first of all, we read in Acts chapter 9, verse 18, he got up and was baptized. And after taking some food, he regained his strength. That was the first thing that Saul did as he became a follower of Jesus Christ. He got baptized. The first thing he did, before he even got any food, he was baptized. Baptism was an opportunity for him to share what God had done in his life. An opportunity to show that he was a new person, a changed person, and that he had a new relationship with God. Baptism has been described as being the opportunity to spiritually attend your own funeral service, which all sounds a little bit morbid and maybe a bit depressing and gloomy, but actually baptism is quite the opposite. Baptism is about celebration and witness and hope, showing that we are a new person as we have become a follower of Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 6, verse 4, the Apostle Paul says, we were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Water is used as a symbol for death. And just as Jesus Christ died and was buried in that tomb, when we are baptized, we're lowered beneath the water, a symbol of death and burial, of our old life being no more, of being put in the past. And then just as Jesus Christ rose up from that grave, didn't he, on that Easter Sunday, then we also are raised up out of the water, a symbol of resurrection victory, of being raised to life, a new life, a life that is dead to sin and alive to Jesus Christ. As Christians, our old lives, they're buried, they're gone, they're in the past. And we can live a new life with God. We can have that new beginning. A life that doesn't end in our physical death. Our life doesn't finish there. But we continue into eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. But please notice that baptism does not make you a Christian. Notice that Saul became a follower of Jesus Christ and then he was baptized. Baptism doesn't save you. It's a symbol of what's already happened in your life. And we use water in our daily lives for washing and cleaning, or at least I hope most of us do anyway. But we use water to keep ourselves clean, don't we? And baptism is also this picture of being washed, of being cleaned, of our dirt and our sin, of all the bad things that are in our lives, of all those things being washed away, being cleaned away. And our unclean lives are then replaced by God's forgiveness and by the pure, clean life of Jesus Christ. So why is it so important for each one of us to be baptized? Why should we do it? Well, I guess first of all, it's in obedience to Jesus Christ. He says that we should do this. This is a command for those who would be his disciples, for those who would follow him. But it's also the example of Jesus Christ himself, as he himself, as an adult, was baptized in the River Jordan. Acts 22 sums it up very succinctly for those who would be Christian believers. And now, What are you waiting for? Get up. Be baptized. But the second thing that Saul did after he became a Christian was evangelism. Evangelism. Acts chapter 9, verse 20, we read, "At once he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God." Saul was a transformed man, a changed man, a saved man, and he just could not help telling people about Jesus Christ, about what God had done in his life. He'd been a teacher of Judaism. He knew the Old Testament scriptures, but now he was teaching about Jesus Christ and what Jesus Christ had done for him in his life, proclaiming that Jesus is the Son of God. But just imagine the scene, the shock, the confusion, the mayhem as Saul went into those Jewish synagogues. The man who'd been responsible for hunting down and persecuting and killing the Christians was now proclaiming and sharing the very same things that had been persecuting the Christians for. You can just understand the confusion that would have happened with the Jewish people in Damascus in the synagogue at that time. The most zealous defender of Judaism had become the most zealous evangelist for Christianity. We read in verse 21 that the Jews in Damascus were astonished. I suspect that that's an understatement. They would not have been able to understand or explain what had happened to Saul. And we learn that they tried to kill him. And the only way that Saul could escape was to be lowered over the city wall in a basket so that he could get away from Damascus and travel on to Jerusalem. But Saul was continuing that great commission of Jesus Christ to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with others. God's dramatic conversion, his saving of Saul, had a very, very clear purpose, a clear reason why God did this, why he entered into this man's life in such a dramatic fashion, the bright light from heaven, the voice from heaven, making him blind. Acts chapter 9, verse 15, God says to Ananias, this is just a little bit early on in the story, when Ananias is trembling at the thought to go and see this man Saul, because he knows he's the persecutor of Christians. But God says to Ananias, look, go. For he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. Saul's mission was to be exactly the complete opposite of what he started out and intended to do. He set out to be this persecutor of the church, rejecting and mocking Jesus Christ. But he'd be transformed into the church's greatest missionary. And we, today, are one of the reasons that Saul was saved so dramatically by God. God had us in mind, the Gentiles, the non-Jews. The Gentiles for the first century Christian church at that time, but also throughout history from then on to us in modern day. And God chose him also because of God's love and God's mercy and God's grace. But it would be the Apostle Paul, or Saul as we've been referring to him at this point in the story. He would change his name to the Roman name of Paul later on. But it would be the Apostle Paul who would powerfully share the good news of Christianity, not just to the Jews, but to the Gentiles in mainland Europe and beyond. The good news to share is that Jesus Christ has died for each one of us. To save us, to bring us that forgiveness, that new start that we can have with God. It's for the rich and the poor people. It's for the religious people, for the pagans. It's for all races, it's for all nations. This good news of Jesus Christ is for everyone who will accept him as their Lord and Saviour. It's for you, and it's for me. But a third thing that Saul did after he'd become a Christian is that he went to find fellowship with the Christian church, with other Christians. Acts chapter 9, verse 26, we read, when he came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples. Saul wanted to go and join the Christian church, to have fellowship with other Christians. He needed to be with people who, like him, had actually knew and met the Lord Jesus Christ. People like him who were sinners and knew God's forgiveness in their lives. Other Christians. And to begin with, quite understandably, that the church was obviously very reluctant to accept him. And in fact, they rejected Saul originally. They probably thought that this was just another tactic of Saul's, another ploy to infiltrate the church and destroy it. But Barnabas, he goes to the other apostles in Jerusalem at the time, and he speaks up for Saul. He tells them about how Saul had actually met the Lord Jesus Christ on that road to Damascus. He tells the apostles how Saul had so courageously and fearlessly preached in Damascus and had nearly been killed for that preaching. And so Saul is eventually accepted by the apostles and the Christian church, and he continued to tell everybody he could in Jerusalem at that time about what Jesus Christ had done for him in his life. And it's important for Saul, and it's also important for us, that we have that fellowship in the Christian church. To be supported and encouraged by other Christians, to be connected with other Christians, being like the parts of a body where we're all interconnected, we all need each other. We all need each other to function as we should do. We need to worship God together, to learn together from God, from the Bible, to pray and to care for each other. For the many difficulties that life always throws up, we all have difficulties and problems at some stage. And to share communion, the Lord's Supper that we do on a regular basis. Collectively recognizing God's grace and God's mercy and God's forgiveness in our lives. And that's why church membership and participation in the church is so, so important. It's the, as Christians, we're recognizing the institution that Jesus Christ set up. And as Christians, we're trying to travel life together, collectively, recognizing that it is Jesus Christ who leads us and mutually supporting and encouraging each other along the way. The Apostle Paul is accredited with having written 13 of the 27 books in the New Testament, in the Bible, and there may be others, such as Romans 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus and Philemon, and there may be others, as I say, such as the book of Hebrews, it's debated. And as a missionary, he journeyed for over 30 years, telling people about Jesus Christ. He travelled tens of thousands of miles in the Mediterranean region, spreading that good news of Jesus, establishing the local churches there, describing himself as the apostle to the Gentiles. An apostle as he personally had met the Lord Jesus Christ, just as the other apostles, the disciples of Jesus Christ, had. And the Great Commission was truly underway to make disciples of all nations. The good news of Jesus Christ being boldly shared with all nations beyond the borders of Israel, reaching the shores of mainland Europe, turning the world upside down, a good news message that would reach us right here in the UK. A good news message of hope for all people. I'll ask the musicians if they can come to the front. We can have our final song in just a few moments. This morning we've considered the Great Commission of Jesus Christ. We've considered the book of Acts. We've looked at how Saul was dramatically converted, how he was saved by God. We've looked at how Saul recognized that he needed God, that that was all he needed in his life. And Saul responded, and he was saved by God. We've looked at how Saul was baptized, how he evangelized, how he shared the good news of Jesus Christ with others, how he had fellowship with the local church. Acts chapter 4, verse 12, it's the Apostle Peter who says this much earlier in the book of Acts. Salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. We need Jesus Christ. We need to be saved. And may we also learn for ourselves that salvation in our own lives. May we also learn to trust and follow Jesus Christ as previous generations of Christians have. And may we also respond as we should as Christians, by being baptized, by sharing our faith, by being part of God's local and global church. Amen.